Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Who might be returning to the WWE and who said they want the TNA title and Off the Mark announces their awards? All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Shelton Benjamin says he might be returning to the WWE. What's going on with this, Aaron?
Yeah, he had made mention of it. And I don't know if it's one of those things where he's kind of baiting the fans. But I actually like Shelton Benjamin a lot. And if they have something in store for him, I would love to see him come back. And if you have the world's greatest tag team come back, I think that'd be a really great idea to introduce a good tag team into the tag division and then have them maybe go into their singles career. I still think Shelton Benjamin was a character that they mismanaged horribly. I think that he was a main event caliber star. And I think in TNA, I think that he would shine there.
And also if they do a TLC match at WrestleMania, you know where that big bump's going to come. It's going to be coming from him.
His matches were just amazing.
And the thing is, he reminds me a lot of Kofi Kingston, and it would be nice to see those two guys wrestle because their styles are similar. But, oh, man, that'd be so great to see those guys wrestle.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And now, I would love to see that. And also, John Morrison had said something very similar. Now, would you like to see him come back this year?
Yeah, I would like to see him come back. It's almost like it reminds me of the old days with the territories. You have a guy go and do his own thing. And he wrestles in, you know, like the Northeast, and then he comes back to like the Midwest, and then it's still fresh. People want to see him. John Morrison has been wrestling, and it's going to take him a couple matches to get back into the swing of things. It's like, you know, some people say it's like riding a bike, but it'd be awesome to see him come back. You know,
absolutely.
Joe Mo's such a great wrestler, very athletic, very agile. I can't wait to see what they're going to do with this. I'm looking forward to see what's going to happen with them. Now, Hulk Hogan said something very interesting this week. He said that he wants the TNA title. Now, was he just saying this to make the title more than what it is? Or does he really want it?
I don't think he actually wants it. I think that a lot of people are going to see that and go, oh, Hogan's going to ruin TNA. Realistically, if you look at TNA over the past 6 months, over the past year, I think most people will say, you know what? It's been really good as a whole. You know, I think it has anyway. A year and a half ago, 2 years ago, it was not. Clearly, TNA was not doing well. I think this is Hogan doing two things. One, he's making the title seem like it is a big title. He's saying, look, I would love to have that title. That title is so prestigious. Do you know who's had it? All of these people have had it. But at the same time, I think he's kind of trolling people a little bit. He's using it to keep his name and TNA in the talk of wrestling. So people hear that and they're like, oh, this is Hogan and he's going to ruin TNA. Well, what's TNA? Oh, it's another wrestling promotion and Hogan's involved in it. I might be interested in watching that. So I think he's doing it for a few different reasons.
Yeah, and that's what I think what he's really doing. I think that he's just doing it to say, hey, what's TNA? But you think by now people would realize, hey, there's another wrestling promotion called TNA, Total Nonstop Action, Impact Wrestling, whatever you want to call it now. That's how I look at it. I think he's just tooting his own horn. He just opened a restaurant. I think that's what he was, what it's really for. But we'll see if this actually if he actually wrestles for the title.
So hope he doesn't.
Oh, he probably.
I just want to throw that out there.
He probably will now. So let's move on to WWE programming for this week. So what are they doing with Alberto Del Rio? He kind of worked as a heel, then he worked as a face. What's going on with this, Aaron?
Dude, I have no idea. The thing I don't want them to do is I don't want them to go down the road that TNA went down 2 years ago, like with Kaz, for example. Kaz was a heel face, in the span of like 6 months. And it was, I think it set his character back because people were just like, look, I don't know whether to boo or cheer him. And honestly, I just don't even care. You know, I just don't care anymore. And I think that that's one of those things that I'm scared that they might be doing with Del Rio. You know, they have him kind of do the face turn, then they have him work as a heel, and then kind of do a face and then another heel thing. And it's like, well, you know, are you trying to make him a tweener? I mean, you have him wrestle Cena, but then you have him wrestle Big Show. Is he kind of an in-between guy? What are you doing with him?
Exactly. And I'm wondering if they did this because they wanted to still make him on the edge, even though I think he's completely turned face. But who knows this week? So Road Scholars and Team Hell No, they're getting set up. This is definitely going to be a feud. And it's kind of interesting they're pushing these tag teams.
It is interesting.
I'm wondering if that's why they contacted Shelton Benjamin, because what if him and Charlie Haas come back?
I would love that. I honestly would.
I mean, I saw their matches from Ring of Honor. I was like, wow, these guys, when you don't have to wrestle a WWE style, they can put on one of the best matches. And yeah, some of the moves could be risky, but since they do it all the time, it's not as risky as you may think.
Yeah, no, and I think that the WWE style, the only reason they do it that way, it's because they have to wrestle 6 days a week, you know? So it's like, well, yeah, that's why we have you do that. But, you know, this, obviously, Road Scholars had won a number one contenders match, but they are really pushing the bounds of this feud. And I'm kind of curious when the number one contender, or when the match is going to be. You would think it's going to be at Royal Rumble, because that's the next pay-per-view, but I almost wonder if they're going to do this at the January 7th Raw.
I don't know about that. I'm wondering if they're going to kind of keep pushing this until WrestleMania, because it could be done if it's done properly.
Oh, no. They're not going to. There's no way WWE is going to do we're going to do this until WrestleMania. You think that they're going to do a 3-month buildup to a tag team match?
They could do something where they have like a 3-way match where they bring primetime players because they've been pushing the crap out of them. And and here's the sad part. Ascension from NXT was a great tag team. And then one of the guys decides that he's going to get drunk and hit someone. So they're done. And it would be nice to see those four go at it, because Ascension's a great tag. I'm sorry. They were a great tag team until someone got stupid. But I'm wondering.
Dude, there's no way, though. Seriously. January 7th.
We'll see.
Probably Royal Rumble at the latest.
Okay. All right. We'll see. We'll see what they're going to do for this. So what's going on with Brad Maddox, dude? He came out thinking that he was going to win something, and he didn't. So what's going on with him, dude?
Dude, I have no idea. I mean, what do you think of, like, they've been putting him in squash matches. Is he even a character that you care about?
No. I could care less about Brad Maddox. But he is the guy that Triple H wants. He thinks he's the guy. He's not.
What does he have about him that's special?
Nothing. He just, you know, screwed Ryback. Okay. He screwed him. Let's move on from there. Where does he go from here? That's the thing you got to look at. Where does he go?
He Nowhere. Doesn't have that unique of a look. You know, he is very young, but I wonder if he's expecting him to be like the next 1-2-3 kid. You know, I mean, that's what I'm wondering.
It could be, but the thing is, he doesn't have a look. He reminds me of Kenny King. They can wrestle. I mean, Brad Maddox can wrestle. All right, I'll say that he can wrestle. But when you have, and same thing with Kenny King, Kenny King can really wrestle. But what is unique about each one of those guys? Like Kenny King, I think to make him unique, dye his hair blonde. Brad Maddox, I don't know what to do with him. Unless he like got all like tatted up like Shannon Moore did to make him look unique, then maybe.
Yeah.
But that's it. There's nothing unique about him.
Yeah, there really isn't. And, you know, Kenny King, I think that he's been getting a little bit better. I think they have been doing a few new things with him, but we'll talk about that in TNA. Andy, so Punk vs. Ryback has been announced for January 7th, and is a TLC match.
Well, you know what's going to happen here?
Punk's going to get injured again?
No. What's going to happen is that Big E's going to come out. Big E, he made his appearance, 1-2-3-4-5 guy, and I think he's going to come out and beat up Ryback. That's what I think is going to happen. That's going to set up Big E versus Ryback. And then I think whoever wins that match, they'll say something like, we'll get a shot at Punk at Elimination Chamber or something like that. Or they'll all be in the Elimination Chamber match. But I think that somehow Big E Langston is going to do something, and that's why Punk retains. Because he came out with AJ, which was a big thing, and I just think that's what's going to happen. Punk will not drop it. Punk will not drop the title. It'll be WrestleMania, and if he faces Undertaker, he'll drop it to Undertaker. That's what I think will happen. I think Undertaker will lose it to him at the next pay-per-view. But is it important? But the thing is, then you got to think about, is the streak, what's more important? Undertaker streak or CM Punk streak? But if you build that up from February on, that's going to sell tickets. It will put butts in the seats because people will be like, well, what are they going to do? Is it going to be a DQ match? Because if it's a DQ, then technically Undertaker still has a streak, but it's, you know, that he hasn't lost. It's not a winning streak anymore.
Wait, so you're saying that Punk's going to hold the title until WrestleMania?
Yes.
So you're saying that he's going to take on The Rock at Royal Rumble and he's going to beat The Rock?
He's going to beat The Rock.
And hey, would you want to put a wager on that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because what's going to happen is somehow the Shield and Ryback will be involved in that match. But you can't have, but realistically, why put the strap on The Rock? Because if he wins it, he's going to have to drop it the next pay-per-view.
No, he won't drop it next pay-per-view. He'll drop it at WrestleMania.
But what's the point then? Who is he going to drop it to? If he drops it back to CM Punk, then the streak was more important then.
He will drop it to CM Punk, though. He'll probably drop it to John Cena. He'll probably make it a big deal. That's what's going to happen. He's going to win the title. I would bet, I'll bet you $5 easily. I bet you $20 on that, like easily. I would go to Vegas, $20 down says The Rock will beat CM Punk at Royal Rumble.
Okay.
That's what I would definitely put that down. I would put a draft pick on there. All right. That's what that's how confident I am.
A first round draft pick?
I would put a second round on there. That's how confident I am.
A second round? Come on.
Let's move on to our sponsor.
HostGator, are you a blogger, a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK. You'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86 Off the Mark page. And with all that Christmas money and probably gift cards from the WWE, just go ahead and go click on our banner that says WWE Shop. Click on that. Spend $70 more and you'll get $10 off. And make sure you check out highspots.com from the same post. Let's move on to Impact Wrestling. So Samoa Joe gets some revenge on Aces and Eights. So what happened here, Aaron?
Yeah, so, you know, in previous weeks, we saw that Samoa Joe had, you know, been attacked or had been involved in an attack in some way, shape, or form. He lost the TV title to D-Von after an attack. And luckily, he was able to get his revenge this week, which it was nice to see. Joe needs TV time. He needs more TV time. I really think they need to push him more. I hope the Aces and Eights thing, I really hope that that helps create a couple of new guys, like new stars. And by that, I mean helps push, let's say, D-Von, helps push Samoa Joe, helps push, you know, some of these other guys to the main event status, because that's what they really need.
Yes, exactly. And also, I feel bad for Samoa Joe, because I don't know why he's in the storyline, really. I mean, unless somehow he's connected with the Aces and Eights, okay, then I see it. But the thing is, the way that TNA is going to be taping, you won't find anything out until after March. So It's like, what's going to happen here? Anyway, so Christian York, for some reason, wrestles RVD. And even the crowd was like, huh? Why is he wrestling RVD?
I know he has a unique look. I know that he has a little bit of a body. But honestly, I don't think he can wrestle. I don't think that he can talk on the mic. I think that he has just a couple of things going for him. And I know that you're going to accentuate the positives and try to hide the negatives as much as possible. You know, they do that with Ryback. They did that with Goldberg. You know, they did that with a lot of people. I just don't think that this is the type of guy, though, that is going to get you places. I think this is a guy who will always be at the bottom of the barrel, and there's no chance that he would ever rise to the top. Someone like Kenny King, don't get me wrong, I don't think that he would ever main event in TNA, but I could see Kenny King main eventing long before I could see Christian York.
And yeah, Christian York does have that look. He has the dreads. He has a good bod, but that's it. I mean, but he can wrestle, too. I'll give him that. He can wrestle. But there's a reason why he left the WWE and he's been on the indie scene for a long time. Why have him wrestle Rob Van Dam? Rob Van Dam is just a made man. He's a great wrestler. I mean, come on. At some point, Christian York, I mean, I'm happy that Christian York is wrestling and he's getting some TV time. But the real question is why? I would rather see Kenny King versus RVD any day.
Well, and you can have Kenny King take on Christian York, and that's a match that I could be like, all right, you know what? Kenny King, first of all, you have him win, but I can understand that. Christian York taking on even Bischoff, to be honest, or the other guy, Briscoe, have him wrestle one of them, And I can understand that match because they're on the same level. You don't have your main event, or you don't have someone who's an upper mid card main eventer wrestle the jobbers. You just don't. I think that that's a really dumb move. And I think that they need to switch that. They did have a really good tag team match, though, which they had Chavo and Hernandez taking on Daniels and Kaz. And first of all, both really good tag teams. I think that they did a really smart job putting them together. I think they need names, to be honest. I think that that'd be a smart thing to do, to have a different name, to have a named tag team for each of those guys. I'm wondering, though, if they're going to get thrown into a multiple tag team match. You have those guys. You also have Joey Ryan and Matt Morgan, and you have a couple other tag teams too, the Robbies. So you could do possibly a fatal four way at the next pay per view.
And if I'm correct, that's Genesis.
Yeah,
yeah, they could do something like that. But you know, like they're doing. I shouldn't be me negative about it because they are doing a great job right now. I'm very happy with the tag division with, you know, TNA, because WWE, of course, they're doing it okay. But it's almost like it's the same guys over and over again. If you have like six tag teams, then it's good. But like you have the Robbies, and they're good wrestlers, and I think they're comical, I think.
They're super comical. You don't expect them to do anything. Absolutely.
But Daniels and Kaz are just great wrestlers. And then and nothing against Chavo, but Chavo, you know, it's one of those things. Same thing with Hernandez. You know, they could do something more with this, but you know, I guess for now it's okay. You know, going into the new year.
Well, Andy, let's talk about the main event. So Austin Aries and Robert Roode go to a no contest. Do you think this was a smart move for them to do for these two?
No, this is ridiculous. Why have them wrestle on free TV? That's the thing. I always look at why did they do this? Why free TV? You know, this could have been something big. And this could have been, you know, like if it was a three-way or a tag match. And then you basically hint that these guys are going to wrestle. But why have them wrestle and then go to a no contest? You know, I guess I can see it from the standpoint of what they're doing is, okay, they're going to go to a no contest. So people are going to be like, man, I would love to see them wrestle and then have like a no DQ match or something like that at Genesis. If they do that, okay, then this match makes sense. But a lot of things they've been doing, you know, it makes sense sometimes, but it's like it's drawn out way too long. It's like if it was a WWE program, it would be done within a week and then it would make sense. But with them, you know, only having 2 hours and then an hour of explosion, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So. No, and I agree to an extent with that. I do think that they are going to set up something bigger with this, and so that's something I am looking forward to. This was a good match. I think these two have a pretty decent chemistry in the ring. I think that at Genesis, though, I think that Hardy's going to get thrown in the mix. I think it's going to be it's going to be a triple threat match, possibly even a fatal four-way. That's what I think Genesis is going to be.
So you have Robbie Roode, Storm, and Aries, and Hardy?
You could do that. You could replace Storm with Bully, possibly, or I guess you can't have AJ in there. So, yeah, I mean, there are other people, though, that you could possibly throw into the mix. You know, we haven't seen Ken Anderson in a while. And, you know, he's a guy I think that should come back and get thrusted straight into that picture. I think him and – you know what? Actually, him and Aries would be a really good tag team.
Yeah, yes, that's true. They would be. Also something interesting, too, about TNA – 13-13, we finally found out who that was. Who is it, Aaron?
It's supposedly Sting.
Yep, supposedly Sting.
But I am wondering if they have something else planned. You know, remember when Undertaker made his big return and then Triple H came out and stole all his thunder? You know, because it's Triple H, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking that they might do something like that, too. I think that somebody might return and kind of either steal Sting's thunder, or you know, someone will return and Sting will steal their thunder. I'm thinking they might do that, but we'll see on 13-13.
We'll see. Yes. So let's move on to the off the mark end of the year awards. So we put a list together of awards, and I think they're going to be pretty similar, actually, Aaron.
You know, I love these shows. These are my favorite shows you by far. So, Andy, let's start talking off. Last year, we completely forgot about it. So, in 2010, we did Newcomer of the Year. For 2011, we apparently forgot about it. So we're bringing it back for 2012. Andy, newcomer of the year. Who is your newcomer of the year?
I got to give it to Zima Ion. Zima Ion is the newcomer of the year.
Really? That is interesting that you would give it to somebody who's been around for a couple of years, because you know he wrestled last year. He was, in fact, I even mentioned him on our prediction show.
Yes, I know, but I still consider him a newcomer.
You consider him a newcomer.
Well, it was between him and Kenny King, and like, I dig Zima Ion a little bit more.
Well, I agree. I dig Zima Ion a little bit more too, but I mean, that's fine.
All right, who's your newcomer then? Who is it?
I'm kind of pulling a little bit of a U, and my newcomer of the year is The Shield.
The Shield?
Yes. So like you, well, first of all, I'm doing one per, because unlike you, I don't do two or three like you were doing last year and the year before. But The Shield, I think, is a special instance because they are a unit, because it's not one of them that's standing out. You know, all three of them are the newcomer of the year because of what they've done, the impact they've made. And it's actually an interest, and it is the most interesting storyline going on in the WWE right now. That is why they are my newcomer of the year.
Okay. All right. Now, the next one is the best DVD of the year. Best in the World CM Punk documentary.
Yeah, and that's not much else to say. Andy, but let's move on. Fallen from Grace, Wrestler of the Year. What this is it's a wrestler who is on top of the world, and they've just fallen hard. So, you know, a good one to think of, AJ Styles, you know, from a couple of years ago. You know, he was the main eventer. He held the title. And then all of a sudden you have him wrestling in mediocre feuds in the mid-card side of things, you know. So he was one that I had a couple of years ago. So, Andy, who is your Fallen Grace wrestler?
Well, I have a couple, actually. I couldn't decide.
You can only pick one. You can only pick one.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to go with Samoa Joe.
Okay.
I feel that he is someone that should be on top. At one point, he did get on top, and then it's just like, what's going on? It's like almost they decide, hey, we are not going to have Samoa Joe do anything, so we'll just bury him. We'll give him the TV title, have him lose to D-Von for no reason.
Interesting. I'm kind of curious. Who was your other one?
We'll go with he's also the underrated wrestler of the year. Let's leave it at that.
Okay. Oh, are we adding in the underrated wrestler of the year this year, aren't we? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, no, that's been in. What am I thinking? Anyway, I'm an idiot. So mine is The Miz.
The Miz, so yeah.
The thought behind it is this. So we have to go back a year and a half. He main evented WrestleMania. So he is the main eventer.
Right.
You know, he's wrestling Cena on pay-per-views. He is your top dog. So for 2011, he was the big guy. In 2012, he's doing mediocre feuds. He's losing to people that he shouldn't be losing to. And so that's why The Miz is definitely the Fallen from Grace wrestler. You know, he's somebody that has been buried. Mm-hmm. But Andy, underrated wrestler of the year.
Zack Ryder.
Interesting.
I had a tie with someone else, but
I'm kind of curious. I mean, you can say who.
All right. I couldn't decide if I wanted to do Zack Ryder or AJ Styles. That's the problem, because AJ Styles, what did he do this year? And say if it was Zack Ryder. It's like, what did he do this year? He's so popular on the internet and fans love him. And you don't do anything with them. You take them off TV. You have them, you know, date E for some reason. And then she kisses John Cena. And then you're like, huh? This isn't comical. This is stupid. People wanted them. People wanted La Parka at one point for WCW. So he got put on TV. Same thing with this. People want Zack Ryder. What are they doing with him? Nothing.
And Zack Ryder is actually a two-time winner now, because you chose him last year. And I agree. So an underrated wrestler is somebody who is not getting TV time, who, you know, they're not pushing, who, you know, like Samoa Joe, for example, would be a really great underrated wrestler of the year, but he is not mine. My underrated wrestler of the year is actually Zima Ion. And the reason is he is getting some TV time, but in my opinion, his gimmick, his look, his wrestling style, and his mic skills, I think that he deserves to be a little bit higher than what he is.
Okay.
I think that him and RVD should be wrestling for the X Division title, and Zima Ion should be getting some of those wins at house shows, in my opinion. Because I think that he is on the cusp of being there, not in the same way Austin Aries was. Because Austin Aries was my underrated wrestler of the year last year, and I'd look at what it did. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they were listening to me.
Right.
But Zema Ion, in my opinion, I think that he's done a pretty good job, but I think that he could be a little bit better if they push him.
Right.
So
the OMG moment of the year goes to who, Aaron?
So the OMG moment of the year is made for something that happened in the world of wrestling. A couple years back, we had the ring collapsing. The Punk promo was another one. Angle's moonsault off the top of the cage was a pretty big one. It's something that happens in the world of wrestling, whether kayfabe or not. So mine is actually Rock beating Cena at WrestleMania. That was a pretty big deal, and everyone was like, there's no way this is going to happen, and it happened.
You know what? I'll tell you the truth. Here's mine. Brock Lesnar returns.
Ah.
That was my – what? It's Brock Lesnar. What is he doing? Why is he back? You know, like, that, I was like, wow. That was the – you know, like, the whole thing with Rock and Cena, I was like, all right. You know, I expected that. But then, like, Lesnar returning was like, he came back. He said he never would.
On our WrestleMania prediction show, you predicted that Cena was going to win. And I believe you were like, there's no way he's not going to win.
Right. So.
Let's see here. So biggest disappointment. Or actually, no, we weren't going to do that this time.
No.
No.
I didn't do that one either.
wrestling industry news of the year. So this is meant for something that happens outside the world of wrestling. In previous years, for example, WWE Network. That was a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. So that, being talked about. TNA moving to Monday nights and then to Thursday nights. Mm-hmm. Linda McMahon losing. You know, things that happen in the wrestling world. So, Andy, what is your wrestling industry news of the year?
It goes to the WWE Network not launching.
Absolutely. And I am in the same boat as you. WWE Network's failure to launch is a really big wrestling industry news. This is something that they were pushing. They had promos for. They were talking about how, this is going to be the next big thing. We're going to have all of these pay-per-views and we're going to do all this stuff. And then all of a sudden it's like, where's it at? And so that's huge, 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 huge news. So I'm kind of surprised that they didn't do this. Andy, mm-hmm. We had talked about doing this award. I got to ask you, do you want to do it? The worst feud of the year?
I actually had the worst feud, and it's actually kind of two, but I got to explain it. The worst feud of the year goes to Alberto Del Rio versus Randy Orton or Sheamus. Doesn't matter. They both sucked. And they kept wrestling on free TV and pay-per-views. Come on. Worst feud of the year.
Mine, I'm going to one-up you here.
Okay.
It's Alberto Del Rio versus anyone.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that. Anyone.
It is. I mean, let's be honest here. You know, it's just, you know, it's bad booking and it's, you know, not having enough time to do things or not having enough time to be like, look, what do we do? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just have him wrestle on Monday, then have him wrestle on Thursday and then at the pay-per-view. And then every single freaking night, we're going to have these guys wrestle and the crowd doesn't care.
Exactly.
So that's so the next big award, Andy,
is the feud of the year. And I have the feud of the year. And you're going to be like, no, it's not. But it's Team Hell No. That's the feud of the year because they've been battling back and forth all year. They're feuding with each other. They're saying, I'm the tag team champions. Both of them are saying it. I find it hilarious. And I just think it's a great feud. I just, with those guys, it's been a great feud. I think both guys are enjoying working together. Daniel Bryan, I think, is becoming bigger because of it. And it's because of Kane, because everyone likes Kane. You have Kane, and then you also have Daniel Bryan. I keep wanting to call him Bryan Danielson. Daniel Bryan comes out, you know, and he changes his look. He gives himself, he looks like a goat now. And that all those segments were hilarious that they did. So that's why I say that's the feud of the year.
Interesting. Mine, I'm going to TNA for this one.
Okay.
Rude versus Storm. And the reason for this is because a lot of people don't realize that they had a feud at the very beginning of the year.
Right.
Storm went away for a while. Storm comes back, and these two had one of the bloodiest matches at the Bound for Glory pay-per-view. And it was damn good, too. This was one of the best brawling matches probably I've seen in the past 5 years, I would say. This match was amazing to end their feud. And they did a great, great job. I want to say that this is, I don't know if it's better than what I've seen in the past, but I would say these two, their match that they had and their feud that was going on was amazing. So for me, feud of the year.
All right. So next we have Wrestler of the Year.
This is the big one. Andy, did you have a couple of people that you were thinking about?
No, I have one. I have one Wrestler of the Year. And that is the CM Punk. He is the Wrestler of the Year. There's no way you can get around it. He's had the championship all year, all 365 days. He is the Wrestler of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you got?
So I had to decide between three people. And okay. I had Austin Aries.
All right.
Robert Roode and CM Punk. And the main reason that I had to decide between these three is that Aries, his rise to the top was really big. You know, Punk was already there, and so I was looking at Aries. Aries rose to the top. He won the title. He then turns heel while he has the title, drops it to Hardy, and is still somewhat in that picture for the title. And it was a pretty big deal. Roode held the TNA title the longest out of any other TNA superstar ever. He had a really great match against so many iconic people. But at the end of the day, Punk held the title, and that's what you got to look at. You got to look at Punk holding the title for 365 days, and you have to say, look, he has had an entertaining title run, and he has been the man. So CM Punk is definitely the Wrestler of the Year. Two times in a row.
The promo did it, and now the fact that he's had the championship belt, one of the longest reigns, actually, in this era.
Yeah,
so absolutely. I mean, that's a big deal. So that's our awards for 2012, and that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show to OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank every listener for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.